As the sun rose over Mar, Hendrik walked through the long corridors of the castle, his feet echoing off the stone, his armor clanging with every move. He was nervous, a lump in his throat. He couldn't swallow down. He reached two large wooden doors. He coughed as he tried to clear his throat, but it didn't help. He knocked.
Enter.
Hendrik opened the doors and stepped into a grand hall. A gigantic wooden table, covered in loads of different foods, filled the room. A man who was sitting in a large, ornate throne at the far end of the room, with a crimson cloak running down his back and onto the stairs. He wore an elaborate golden crown on his head, and he was reading through a scroll as Hendrik approached. A servant was talking to the king.
And tell them that if it is not done, I will come down to that kitchen myself and teach them how it is to be done. And they will not be happy with that.
Yes, your majesty, right away.
Hendrik. What the hell is happening in my city? Why am I hearing reports that you turned this circus into some sort of a catastrophe?
Your highness, it's not as it sounds. Slab Clearwater was the host of a circus. I was simply following orders.
Following orders? Orders from whom?
Yours, your majesty.
Speak up, man. You're the captain of the guard, for God's sake.
Apologies. I was following your orders, sir.
My orders were to observe the show, keep an eye on the hosts, and if anything was untoward, then act. You went in there with swords drawn and ready for a fight.
With all due respect, your majesty, they were using magic, something you outlawed. I was simply acting within the law.
Politics, Hendrik, politics. Do you seriously think people would be so stupid as to come and use magic in the walls of my city? We have not seen magic used in Mar for years, because I thought my soldiers were good enough at doing their jobs. Do you also think I would have allowed this circus to come into town if I thought for one second that they'd really be using magic?
Again, with the utmost respect, Your Majesty, you weren't there. It was real magic, sire. It was not parlor tricks. They disappeared into a portal and vanished in front of my eyes. I've seen parlor magic, and no one has ever been able to do that. I seriously think we may have an issue on our hands if we don't act now. Tsar Clearwater is someone I've had on my list for a long time, with connections in the city, and I think we need to investigate them. Otherwise it will be too late.
Very well. If you are correct, and this Sab is a magic user, and his troop are as well, then what are you saying?
With your permission, sire, I will round up every person we suspect to have any connection with anyone who may know Sab, or anyone with magical abilities. Cut it off at the source. If we don't, I fear we may have an uprising on our hands. My men have heard whispers of movement. We need to act now, get ahead of it, before it has a chance to develop.
Very well. Do what you must. But Hendrik, if you are wrong, then you are done, and I will not be generous just because of who you are.
Your Highness.
Hendrik left the hall. His stomach was in knots. Arno fell for what felt like hours, landing hard on the rough stone ground, and he rolled to a stop against the wall. The room was illuminated by flickering candles, and you could hear the muffled voices. Then, as his hearing returned, he could hear the conversation.
Who does that creep think he is speaking to us like that? I shouldn't have held back.
Come now, Mealy. I know it's frustrating, but we were
clumsy. We should not have been so flippant, and that is my doing.
Saab, it's not your fault. We knew what we were doing.
No, sis, don't do that. We fucked up. Let's just say it how it is.
While I don't agree with his choice of words, Arend is right.
No, we got cocky. It's that simple.
You are correct. We need to be more careful next time.
There isn't going to be a next time, Sab. If we have another hen dick, then we are done for.
He was just on a power trip. Pay him no mind.
By the gods, Lauren, there is no public here. You can change back.
Okay. And Saab, what are we going to do about him?
There was a moment of silence from the group before Saab stood up from his chair and addressed Arno for the first time properly. He was tall, and his long blonde hair fell over his shoulders. He was wearing forest green robes and a large gem on rings in his hands.
It's all right, my boy. We see you there. Come forward from the shadows and join us at the table here.
Hi, hello.
And who is this now?
His name is Arno. He is scared. You don't have to be scared. We are friendly. Well, most of us.
Piss off! So why are you here?
Well, I was at the show, you know, the one where you were performing. You guys were incredible, the fire and the gymnastics, everything was just sensational. Then the guards showed up and you used your stick thing, and now I'm here and I don't know what's going on.
Well, thank you for those kind words. You must be confused, and that is totally understandable. Travel by magic can take its toll, if you are not used to it.
Sorry, magic?
Sorry, but who is this kid? Really, he doesn't know what magic is.
Mele, stop.
Yes, magic. It's an energy that is inside everyone. A powerful energy that, if harnessed, can do incredible things. But if abused, it can do terrible, amazing, but terrible things. Some people believe that we were given the energy from the gods, a little bit of their power put into us. Others believe it comes from the earth, the trees, the plants, and the world around us. Some believe that it was manufactured long ago, and only a few special individuals possess the power to harness this energy.
And if I may ask, what do you believe?
Oh, my boy. My beliefs are different from all of those, and it would take a long time to explain. Perhaps another time. Tell me, you have never heard of magic before?
Listen, I grew up on the streets of Selfmar. I've never seen, heard of, or met anyone who can use magic before. I know the streets and I know how to survive, that's all.
So, you have not heard about what Landra is doing to Hera? How he is raping the continent of its power and breaking it down to nothing?
No, nothing. And when you say Landra, you mean King Landra, right?
King? Don't make me laugh. A king. You can't call that worm a king. A king is someone to be respected, someone who cares for his people. You should call him a tyrant, a dictator,
a shit.
Precisely, a shit.
Lelandra prohibited the use of magic on the continent of Hera. He believes that it is some sort of illness, a plague, which is a blight upon the land. He thinks that anyone who can harness the power is a threat. Of course, that is not the case. However, for people like us, who have no issue with using the energy that is inside of us, he has created a task force, a group of power-hungry maniacs, like our friend back there, who have been given free rein to do whatever they like to people like us, in order to dispose of us.
Hendrik, dispose? You mean...
Yes, honey, killing. Your precious king is killing everyone found to be using magic, or, more accurately, his son is doing the killing. Wait, well, oh, he hides behind his marble pillars!
Now, while I don't appreciate her attitude, sadly, Mele is correct. It is not safe for people like us, so That is why we cannot stay in one place for a long time, because this task force is constantly hunting us.
So why, if you don't mind me asking, if you're trying to escape this task force, why would you perform a show using magic and in South Mar of all places?
That is a perfectly valid question, Arno. You see, theatre is all about illusion and telling a story. If you can make the audience believe what they are seeing is real, then you have them in the palm of your hand. Magic has been outlawed for hundreds of years, so no one is going to be used to seeing it, and they are not going to think that people are going to be brazen enough to do it in public.
So they know it is not real, but, of course, we know it's real. And that is what makes it exciting.
What my darling sister is trying to say is that we know people are stupid and will fall for anything. And that's why we do it.
Ow. Well, I was impressed.
My
So who are you guys?
We call ourselves the Misfits. A band of travelling showmen and women who don't seem to fit in any society. So we are, by definition, misfits.
So you literally travel around doing shows, that's it?
Not exactly. What Lauren said is the tourist version. We are what's known as freedom fighters.
Sab!
What? Let's not lie to the boy.
We don't know him. He could be anyone. A spy.
I doubt he's a spy. Besides, Silva would have sensed that straight away.
He is trustworthy. Although, very confused and scared, we can trust him.
How do you know that? I've just met you.
Silva has the power to read minds, manipulate minds, and move things with her mind.
Silva waved a hand and a chair slid across the room into the back of Arno's legs, causing him to sit down. She smiled as he looked around the chair for strings and contraptions. After a moment of silence, Arno spoke again.
So, where are we? In the sewers?
We're still in the city of Mar, in the basement of a tavern that we use as our base of operations. The tavern owner is a dear friend of ours, and he helps keep us safe.
Silva gave Arno a half-smile and took his hands in hers. Her skin was soft, and her perfume was intoxicating. Arno's heart skipped a beat. She stared into his eyes and gave him a gentle smile.
I sense great power within you, Arno. Your energy is strong and just yearning to be released. Have you ever done anything that you couldn't explain? Anything that was out of the ordinary?
There was a pause, but Arno didn't answer. A single tear rolled down his cheek.
It's okay. You don't need to tell me. I know. I can read what is going on in there. We can talk about it some other time. Just you and me.
Listen, can we stop all this lovey-dovey crap and actually discuss what the hell we're going to do about Landress and his army of boneheads?
That is, of course, something that we need to discuss. And we will get to it. But first, we should have some food, and I need to spend some time with our new friend here.
Sam, stop delaying it. We need to do something before it's too late. We need to come up with a plan.
Everything will happen in time, Mealy. If you are not happy with how long it is taking, please, by all means, you go ahead and formulate a plan. But I will be getting some food and spending time with Arno here, and then go from there.
Several hours passed, and everyone was filled up with chicken, beef, ham, and large slices of bread and butter and cheese, and as much ale as they can drink. Mealy, Arand, and Lauren were passed out drunk, laying on the table, the floor, and one of the benches. Tankards knocked over, and ale on the floor dripping into a frothing puddle on the stone. Sab had taken Arno into a room off the main chamber, and was followed by Silva. In the room, there were lanterns flickering, and a large tapestry on the wall. An empty, weathered tapestry. Sab stood in front of the tapestry, staring intently.
Do you know what this is, Arno?
A tapestry?
I don't know.
Precisely. But what do you think it is for?
From my understanding, a tapestry is for telling a story, so I'm going to say that it's telling a story.
Well done, my boy. Brilliant for telling a story. So why is this one blank, then?
Because this story is yet to be written?
Because the story is yet to be written. Exactly. The thing is about this particular tapestry is that it has already got a story woven into its fabric. A story which dates back to the creation of this continent, of this world. A story so old that the tapestries have all gotten lost in the sea of time, except one. One tapestry remains. One tapestry survived the waves of time. One tapestry infused with the same energy which is inside me, inside of you. As I tell the story of this tapestry, it will release its energy and will share its secrets.
I don't understand.
You don't need to yet. I love this bit.
Just watch and listen.
Lights from the lantern slowly started to dim, and four globules of bright colour slowly appeared on the fabric of the tapestry. Red, green, blue and white. They appeared in the corner and began to dance around each other.
Millennia ago, an ethereal being called Tyrius, who came before everything else, created his daughters from the stars. The four sisters were born from the stars, bright and beautiful. Garosha, Carnia, Syla, and Atla were their names, and together they created the world.
The colours smashed together with an explosion as it spread over most of the tapestries, creating mountains, sky, sea, and trees.
Garosha built the mountains and volcanoes and warmed the world from within. Carnia brought life to the world by growing jungles and forest, wildlife and rich soil. Syla created the air for the creatures to breathe and rain to help the nature to thrive. Atla formed the ocean, lakes and rivers. When the world was created, the sisters wanted something to inhabit their new world. So together, they created man, elves, dwarfs, and all the races who live amongst each other. Together, they put a little bit of themselves into each creation, almost as a vessel for them so they could live in the world they created.
All the colours on the tapestry moved as Sab was talking, telling the story.
Many years passed, and the beings lived in harmony, creating civilizations, towns and cities across all corners of the world. The sisters watched over the world, never interfering, until their creations started to worship them, creating buildings where some would speak to them and relay any messages the sisters would want to tell them. However, there would be some who would fabricate messages and create messages of hate, claiming it was from the sisters. And this resulted in war. Wars between races which split the world.
A large red crack appeared in the lush tapestry and the colours changed. Black and red filled the material. Fires and burnt trees appeared and bodies and blood poured into the seas.
The hatred between the races created a rift in the world. The loving energy within the beings had turned into a putrid, vile substance and oozed out of some, creating a large crack in the foundations of the earth. And from there emerged another god. A god created from all of the death and destruction, hatred and malice from the world above. His name was Sarok, and he inflicted great atrocities on the beings of the world. The people of Hera pleaded for help from the sisters who obliged their children and fought off Sarok, locking him away beneath the surface of the world. The damage he had caused, however, was irreparable, and many of the beings worshipped the evil god. The sisters watched over the world, ready to fight again, and should they need to.
The tapestry showed a large fiery demon locked in a large cage underneath the surface of the earth. Silva stepped forward.
Thousands of years passed, and peace fell on the earth, and the people once again were living in harmony. Using the powers that the sisters bestowed upon them and to help with their daily lives.
Well,
A lot of people have that reaction when they see this.
There is a lot of information to swallow, my boy. But I am here if you have any questions.
Zarog, you said was locked away under the earth. Has he ever tried to escape?
He has never escaped again. However, we do know of groups of individuals who worship him and are trying to figure out a way to release him, but we think they are a long way from actually doing it. So we don't need to worry too much about that right now.
You said earlier that the king has banned magic. How can he ban something that's meant to be inside everyone?
Over time, some people of the world have lost their abilities, or lost their knowledge or understanding, and have become bitter over those who still have their powers. We think Clandra is banning magic because he fears the people who have the power may try to overthrow him using their powers.
There are some very powerful people who live on the continent, from the wood elves of the Emerald Forest to some tribes who inhabit the Saurine Desert. There are only a few thousand people who have their powers. Through generations of breeding between non-magic users, their powers have been lost. And of course, the Lelandris family line are one of them.
So, he's worried that people will use their powers to overthrow him. Has anyone ever tried?
Not until now.
Sorry?
Our mission, Arno, is to overthrow the king. Get him out of power, so that people are free to use magic again. As a group, we feel that this is incredibly important for the continent of Hera. It will be a long road, but if you are interested, we would love to have you on board.
I don't know. I mean, I've just learned about all this stuff. I don't even know if I can do magic.
You can. We just need to tap into it. You don't have to decide right now. Allow us to help you harness your magic, and you can decide. I appreciate that this is a lot of information to absorb.
It's getting late. We have some beds made up in the other chamber. We can discuss this again in the morning. Take the night, Arno.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Arno was led from the room. The lanterns put themselves out as he entered another chamber, which was full of beds. He lay down on the bed with the thought of everything he had learnt dancing in his mind, as sleep slowly started to engulf him.
Arno, Rise of Rebellion is an Eerie Earth production, written, edited and directed by Kieran Begg. Starring Ben James as Hendrik, Peter Wyszynski as King Yandra, Saxon Davids as Arno, Megan Chase as Silva, Carl Wharton as Sab, Peter Wyszynski as Arand, Rick Oldroyd as Lauren, and Beth Eltringham as Melee, Kieran Begg supplying additional voices. For more information, please visit eerieearth.com, and if you're interested, you can join our Patreon for £3 a month, where you can get mentioned in every episode of Eerie Earth and any ongoing audio drama. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye for now.